This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
In China, the property market is in turmoil. House prices are falling, and Chinese developers are running into big trouble.
China's continuing property market slump has left cash-strapped housing projects stalled all over the country, resulting in failure to deliver units to home buyers.
Understandably, Chinese investors are looking for safer places to put their money, and it turns out that one of those places is South Dublin.
There was one house in Kilmacud, and we were outbid by a significant margin. I mean, it went 40% over asking, so.
But these buyers are not just looking for investment opportunities.
They look to buy properties in South Dublin, close to a good fee-paying school.
They would be happy to spend whatever money it takes to get what they would see as the best education.
This is In the News from the Irish Times. I'm Saoirse Pollock. Today, why Chinese millionaires are buying up South Dublin properties, and what it means for others looking for an affordable home. Niamh, you've been house shopping for a couple of months now. So tell me, the viewings that you've been going to, you and your partner, you started noticing something interesting happening, unexpected. What is that?
Yeah, so we noticed it kind of, I suppose, from the first viewing, but, you know, I guess the pattern emerged after a couple of viewings where we would go to viewings and there would be, I suppose, agents, I guess, who were Chinese agents that were on their own filming the whole property and going around and speaking through their phones and kind of on their headpieces and things. It was sometimes like it looked like live streaming it and talking in Chinese language. And we'd see them like in a disproportionate amount. Like there'd obviously be other families and things at viewings, but we'd see them a disproportionate amount of them at viewings we were going to in particular areas.
So you saw these agents filming, walking around houses with a camera. As you realised, saw this pattern, what did you realise they were doing?
Well, I suppose it was only through talking with other friends. Like we didn't know exactly initially what they were doing other than thinking it was a bit strange. And then I suppose just talking with friends and then doing some Google searches and things, we realized they were agents for Chinese investors. So they were obviously doing some sort of streaming, live streaming to clients, or maybe just filming for their clients rather than even live streaming. So filming was the sort of common denominator.
What do you think this is doing to house prices and the market in general? Have you seen an issue when bidding happens? And does it mean that you've been outbid on a number of properties?
Yeah, actually. So there was one house in Kilmacud and we were outbid by a significant margin. I mean, it was one of these websites where you could see what the bids were and what they were coming in, and you didn't know who the people were. You just saw kind of a identifier for them. It went 40% over asking. So, and that was even at a high end. So it was like 400 grand. So yeah, that was way beyond what we were willing to bid anyway on it. And, you know, it was just kind of a crazy type of bidding, even, you know, kind of adding on 40, 50s and then back to fives. And it was all over the place the way they were bidding.
Niamh, finally, can I ask you, what would you like to see happen as someone who is currently trying to find a house and is encountering these agents? What do you think should be done, or do you think anything should be done?
We asked a few agents about this, and one even said to us that it was actually annoying for them because they were bidding on a lot of properties and then they wouldn't take those bids in the end. You know, they would just pull out of the sale then after going sale agreed. So then they'd kind of go back to the underbidders and see if they were still around. And that kind of means that the underbidder is probably overpaying because they're always bidding against someone with a lot of cash and then wasn't going to finalize the sale in the end. So I think, you know, that is directly artificially inflating prices on the market, as well as just having more people on the market with a very scarce supply is going to drive up prices as well. So I think, especially given it's probably the most contentious issue at the moment in this country, that we have to kind of put a curb on foreign investment into particularly residential properties. I think no one's going to really be too fussed about commercial properties and that kind of thing, but for residential properties where that's people's homes, I think that there should be some kind of limits on it.
Colm Keena is an Irish Times reporter. Colm, you wrote in the Irish Times at the weekend about the relatively new phenomenon of Chinese multimillionaires investing in South Dublin properties, often sight unseen or without actually seeing the properties in person before purchasing them. So can you tell me, who are the agents acting for these would-be buyers in Dublin and how does this whole process work?
Yeah, it seems that people in China with substantial amounts of money who want to move here and get residency status here and move their children here to go to school in Dublin can use these agents here in Dublin to view properties for them and then report back about the properties and whether they fulfill the criteria for them and that these sales can go ahead sight unseen with the agents who are, they're called buyer's agents, who would be Chinese people. They would go to the property and record or even live stream wearing headsets and so on, live video and live stream the viewing of the property and be reporting back to the potential buyer who would be back in China. Mm-hmm. And according to one of the people who operate in this area, a man called Mr. Yu, with a company called Vanke, a business here in Dublin, he says what they're looking for is a property in South Dublin, close to a good fee-paying school, in around 600,000 to 800,000 euros. Although when you look on his Facebook page, you can see properties in excess of that being promoted. He sometimes also would look at investment properties on behalf of these people. So they might buy a family home and also a rental property or two rental properties. Mm. And for them, it's in and around the so-called Silicon Docks area or Balls Bridge, places like that, where you get a good rent on a good, high-quality residential property.
Can you tell me a bit more about the type of houses that feature on this Vanke Ireland website? I mean, where in Dublin are they? And maybe a bit more example of the prices that they'd be looking at.
Yeah, there was a good few in and around Dundrum, Goatstown, Booterstown, Blackrock. The ones I looked at, asking prices were around 900,000, million. But from other conversations I had with some estate agents, first of all, there's a general shortage of second-hand properties in the Irish market at the moment. And these very attractive properties in very attractive areas are going for well above their asking prices. So there's strong bidding on these properties at the moment, and they're sometimes going for multiples of tens of thousands more than has been sought. I was given one example of a house that was on the market for 2.2 million. They had bids in for 2.5. So it's a pretty hot market at the moment.
So, Colm, what can you tell me about these buyers, and do they have any prior connection to Ireland?
No, not at all. It just seems that they consider Dublin to be an attractive place to raise their children. It's a safe place. It's in the EU. And we had up till late last year a golden visa scheme. Mm. So these are well-to-do people, by definition, multimillionaires. They have to have a net value of 2 million and they have to be able to invest a million or more, or half a million if they make a donation to a philanthropy. But they have to bring some money over here and put it into the Irish economy. And that's one of the reasons why they'd be investing in rental properties. So they're by definition wealthy people. According to Mr. Yu, they are usually people who run their own businesses and made money that way, or else have done very well out of the Chinese property market.
You've mentioned the Irish government's immigrant investor program, or the golden visa system, as it's more commonly known. Now, that program shut down very suddenly in February 2023, largely because of the level of interest that was coming from China. Can you remind us why the program was shut down so abruptly and why there was this sudden surge of applications coming from China?
Yeah, well, as far as I understand it, it was shut down on Valentine's Day of last year. It was shut down immediately. They didn't say we're going to shut it down in 3 weeks' time or 3 months' time or whatever. That happened because they didn't want to load the last-minute applications. And at the moment, there are 2,700-odd applications in the system which have yet to be processed. And Mr. Yu from Vanke, he said that's enough to keep him in business for a few years yet,
really?
You know, because it'll take a while to process all of these. There also is a second system called the Stamp 4. Mm. So that's, again, available to wealthy people from outside the EU who want to come and live here and can show that they've got the means not to be any sort of a burden on the state.
Is it just property investment that's attracting a lot of these people to Ireland, or are there other factors for buying up in Dublin, specifically South Dublin?
Yeah, one of the estate agents I was talking to, Brian Dempsey of DNG in Sillorgan, he was saying he doesn't think the same, what he called foreign bonanza, is happening in Phibsborough. Mm. So really, he says it's associated with the fee-paying schools. Ben Rafferty, the solicitor, said his clients just love Mount Anville School.
Okay.
And likewise, the man from Vanke, they name-checked a few fee-paying schools, said that they're quite reasonably priced compared to an equivalent school in China. And they have a very positive attitude towards them. And so they look to buy properties in within reasonable commuting distance to these schools. Hence the interest in South Dublin. But what I thought was really interesting is the buyer's agent said they're not terribly interested in Irish universities.
Oh,
They don't score high enough in the rankings.
We don't rate high enough.
Yeah, yeah. So they prefer to send their children to top tier universities in the UK and the US.
Okay.
But they like to have children who can feel that they came from Dublin and have this good connection with Ireland because they think it's a positive in their lives, you know.
We here in Ireland see properties in places like South Dublin as very expensive these days, and they are. But compared to cities like London and Hong Kong, does Dublin still offer up good deals for wealthy foreign investors?
Yeah. And both the Irish estate agent and the Chinese buyer's agent surprised me, but that property in South Dublin might be undervalued, significantly undervalued. And they were talking about what you pay for a square foot of property in a good neighbourhood in London or Hong Kong or whatever. So I suppose that's just another terrifying idea to throw out there for anybody hoping to buy a house. You know.
Colm, this trend of wealthy foreign buyers investing in the more expensive end of the Irish property market is a relatively new phenomenon on this island. A decade ago, the debate about foreign buyers dominating London's luxury housing market in areas like Hyde Park, that was all over the news. So what can we learn here in Dublin from London's mistakes?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure if we can learn anything. I mean, part of the reason the Irish property is being advertised internationally is because there's a housing crisis. So there's a feeling that they'll continue to gain value. And of course, if you want to buy a second-hand house in a settled suburb, you know, you can't build old houses. There's only a limited number of them. And if more and more people with good jobs are going to be getting good levels of pay from the multinational sector, there's only a limited number of these houses available. But I know from family who live in New Zealand that they did introduce specific laws to keep foreigners from buying property in New Zealand. But as a member of the EU, we can't do that.
Coming up, the crisis in China that's driving investment out of the country.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
In China, a property crisis that has already lasted for years keeps rolling on. Last week, China's housing minister said more big developers may have to go bust. Dennis Daunton is the Irish Times Beijing correspondent. Dennis, we've been speaking with Colm Keane about Chinese investment in Irish property. One backdrop to this story is this crisis in the Chinese property market. How is that situation developing? And is that having an effect on the way that wealthy Chinese people are putting their money into Ireland right now?
For most of the past 40 years or so, since China's economy started to grow at an extraordinary rate, really from the 1980s onwards, Chinese people have tended to put the wealth that they have accumulated into property. It's their favorite asset. And it's China's got and has had a relatively underdeveloped stock market. And so really property was the only asset that most Chinese people wanted to invest in. And it was a very good investment for a long time because the property prices kept going up. And what you saw was that an awful lot of the activity that drove the Chinese economy for a long time was construction. And so for a long time, this was the place to put your money. The problem is that over the last few years, the property market hasn't just gone into a downturn, it's gone into a slump. And what you've seen is a lot of big property companies have essentially run out of money. They're hugely laden with debt. And you've now found that there are a lot of big property developments that are lying empty or they're unfinished. And prices are going down. You can't sell anything. Nobody's buying anything. And so the assets that people have been investing in, these assets are losing value. And certainly if you have money now, it doesn't seem like a good idea to put it into property in China. And one problem with the property market in China is that this is possibly not just a kind of cyclical downturn. Because if you look at the long-term trends in demography, the Chinese population, which was growing for a long time, is now starting to decline. And as time goes on, there may be less of a demand for property. Much of the infrastructure is already built. And so I think that a lot of people who have money now in China are thinking, actually, investing in Chinese property is not just not a good idea today. It probably won't be a good idea for some time. And so let's think of how we can go into some, find some other asset. And that sometimes means looking abroad.
Are they free to just take their money out of the Chinese economy and invest it in other places like Ireland? Because we often get the impression that the Chinese economy is quite curtailed in comparison to here.
There are very strict capital controls in China, so Chinese people can only take a certain amount of money out of the country every year, and that's a really quite a low limit. It's we're really talking about a few thousand, and so what people who are well off have been trying to do is to find ways of getting money out. They've got all kinds of fairly ingenious ways. Sometimes they use their friends and relations who don't tend to need to use their quota of capital to get out of the country. They'll help them to get money out. Otherwise, really quite well off people will find that they can earn money in foreign currency. So if there's any way that you could make money in the US or in Europe and make it in dollars or in euros, then you're going to do it that way. So a lot of people have been trying to keep whatever money they have outside China, and then in the same way try to get as much money out of China, just really as the economy has been going into this downturn and as they don't feel as if there's a good place to put their assets in China.
So all that might explain why getting in on the Irish rental market strongly appeals to some Chinese people, but there is another reason, as Colm explained, that's driving this trend, and that is the desire to send children to Irish schools. What is behind this attraction to Irish schools?
For Chinese people, education is enormously important. They will spend huge amounts of money and huge amounts of effort on educating their children here in China, but also abroad. And so you find that a lot of fairly reasonably well-off Chinese people, and not super rich, but just quite well-off people, will save and they will send their kids to university, maybe in the United States or in Britain or in Ireland or in other European countries. And sometimes to give them a better chance of getting into a university there, they will try to send them to school in one of these countries. And if they're going to move to Ireland, they're going to want to make sure that they're close to a pretty good school, and they will be happy to spend whatever money it takes to get what they would see as the best education, or at least the education that's most likely to get their kids a place in a good university or college course. And so that is probably one reason why they would be inclined to look at schools when they're looking at a place to buy property.
It it's important to remember that this is not just money coming from China, that there are wealthy people for different reasons in Dublin, including the large tech organisations that exist in Dublin, that are driving money into the wealthier areas of Dublin, sure, particularly in housing. But if we're looking at the bigger picture here, Colm, what do you think might be the implications of foreign investment in areas like South Dublin if it continues to grow and affect people who are looking to buy houses in this country?
This story was kind of interesting just because people were buying houses sight unseen, and the idea of people over in China having representatives in Dublin giving a live stream back from a viewing is just a phenomenon that's interesting. But most of the heavy bidding on South Dublin houses that's going on at the moment is not because of China, it's because of Irish people with loads of money wanting to buy a house, and there's not too many of them. And then there's also, of course, the multinational sector, which is people coming from all over the world who are getting very well paid. Certainly one of the estate agents I spoke to had an idea that this idea of well-to-do people coming to South Dublin to live and have a good quality of life in a nice city that's very secure, part of the EU, as is a stable society and so on, it's only going in one direction. There's, you know, lots of people with lots of money out there who they can decide where in the world they want to live and so on. And Dublin's a pretty attractive place. So that's going to be part of the mix for the future.
That's all for today. For more reporting from Colm Keane, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Saoirse Pollock. This episode was produced by Suzanne Brennan and Declan Conlon. In the news, we'll be back tomorrow.